There is nothing so pleasant than to seek to unfold the precious, positive truths of God's salvation, dear friend. And one's heart longs that thereby souls would be attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our desire that every listener will embrace him by faith as a personal Savior and Lord. And though this is still our purpose in these few moments with the book, yet today we feel constrained, like the writer of the Epistle Jude, to speak of the apostasy, the turning away from the truth of God, that which is rapidly increasing in the sphere of Christendom. This is one of the signs that we are in the last days, as Jude himself speaks of it in the end of his chapter. He speaks of in the last days there shall be mockers that shall come. Jude begins in verse 4, speaking of the time in his day when there were men who crept in unawares to corrupt the truth of God. And then he proceeds by the Spirit to show the development of this up to the present day. And as we look around us on every hand, we see the apostasy of Christendom developing almost to full bloom. However, we know that it is not developed fully yet because the Lord has not come. The Lord is coming to take out of professing Christendom the true church, the true believer, the born-again believer. This is the hope of the believer, the coming of the Lord to the air with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But after this event, the Lord is going to judge professing Christendom. And dear listening friend, if you are just a mere professor, if you have never been born again, you may have joined a church here and been baptized, you may teach a Sunday school class, you may even preach the word, and yet if you've not been saved, you'll be left behind at the rapture, and you will come under the judgment of which Enoch speaks in this very epistle. The Lord himself, we read here, he himself shall come with 10,000s, myriads of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You, dear listening friend, I say, if you're not saved and Jesus should come today, you would be left behind to endure, to fall beneath that awful judgment. But now I would like to just point out with you today in the book of Jude, and if you have your Bible handy, would you turn with me, please, to notice some of the points that Jude brings out that would be characteristic of the last days in which we live. He begins, I say, in his own day, when certain men crept in unawares. It is Satan's way to infiltrate the ranks of God, and he has successfully done so. There are those who have corrupted the truth. They are ungodly men. They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They take the ground of grace. They make a profession of Christianity, and yet it doesn't change their lives. They take it as a handle to do their own will, to serve their own lusts. Furthermore, in verse 4, we read that they deny the only Master, our Lord, Jesus Christ, Jude writes. They deny him who alone has authority, the one who is exalted above all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son who came into the world manifest in flesh to give himself a ransom for men. He is exalted to the right hand of the Majesty on high. But those who take the ground today of profession and know him not as Savior deny him his Lordship. Jude then goes on to illustrate the days in which we will live by the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He speaks of them, those days as it were, of those who in that day lived. They gave themselves over to fornication and going after the strange flesh. These, he set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It was fire that came from heaven that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, And the Lord Jesus said that as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so would it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What characterized those days? The giving themselves over to fornication. What characterizes the day in which we are living? I need not speak of it. You read your newspaper. You know the alarm, the concern on every hand for the results of the increase of fornication on every hand. Dear friend, this is another sign that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment is near at hand. Furthermore, in verse 8, you'll notice he speaks of these and those who are in professing Christendom that are not real, who are nothing but filthy dreamers that defile the flesh. That is, they have their own philosophy and religion, and it is a religion that caters to themselves. Furthermore, they despise dominion or authority. Oh, how we see this developing. No regard for law and order. There's a speaking evil of dignities, says Jude. That is a railing against the powers that be. And yet they have no and offer no solution. This is man's will in rebellion. This is that which leads to anarchy, that which the Bible says is coming and will develop when the Lord takes the church home. And then that time of great tribulation will begin on this earth such as the world has never experienced. Oh, dear friend, dear listening friend, if you're not saved, we would warn you to flee now from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ. But consider further some of the characteristics of those who in this day are developing. They speak evil of those things which they know not. They do not understand what they're talking about. And yet again, what they do understand, they don't follow. But as brute beasts, they just use it for their own lusts and corrupt themselves. And then in verse 11, Jude says, by the power of the Spirit of God, woe unto them. And indeed it is woe unto those that only live in sin, despise the grace of God, deny the Lord Jesus Christ, follow their own willful lusts and flesh. They make a profession of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He says they have gone in the way of Cain. The way of Cain was a way of self-will. Cain wanted his own will. It was a religious way, but a way that did not want God's way. And we have the way of Cain around us today, the religion of man that despises the sacrifice of Calvary. In contrast to Abel, who is a picture of one who pleads the blood of Christ, who offers the sacrifice for sin, the lamb slain. Oh, dear friend, those who today are in professing Christendom that are under the judgment of God despise the cross of Christ. They go in the way of Cain. Next, we read they run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. Here we have not only self-will, but we have self-pleasing and we have greed. We have men taking up religion for the benefits that they can get from it. How contrary to the very spirit of Christianity this is. Running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, making a business out of Christianity. Oh, how far this is from the Bible truth. Dear friend, Christianity is the heart of God told out in love. And the salvation that God gives is not to be purchased, not to be bought. It is a free gift to be received by simple faith and acknowledging one's own need and receiving freely the offer of God's salvation. But today we see men making a business out of this, running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And then next you notice he speaks of Korah, perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah, you recall, was one who spoke against God's appointed priesthood and ministry in his day, against Moses and Aaron. And you know what happened to him? He perished. This is but a picture of what will happen to those who today speak against the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak against him as the one who has lordship of all, who is the only one to be obeyed. He is the only priest, as it were. He is the great high priest. He is the Savior. He is the head of the church. And yet when man turn from him and speak against him and set up their own head, go by their own way. It's the gainsaying of Korah, speaking against God's appointed one. Oh, dear friend, it's a solemn thing to speak against the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are not for him, you are against him. Jude goes on to say that these very ones here are spots or hidden rocks in your feasts of love. That is, in the Christian fellowship, these who infiltrate the Christian ranks, so to speak, are nothing but hidden rocks. They feast themselves with you. Yes, there are people that like to go along with the benefits outwardly that Christianity gives, but they don't want Christianity itself. In a word, they don't want Christ, but they want the benefits. But notice what we read of them. They feed themselves without fear. They are characterized by having no fear of God before their eyes. This is true of every unsaved one. Oh, if you've never been brought to the fear of God, you don't know what it is to be saved. It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. You have to do with him. But these that we read of here are without fear. But notice there are four things that characterize them. First, Jude speaks of them as clouds without water, carried about with winds. Here we have simply a profession, a form of godliness and no power. Clouds without water, what good are they? Clouds are intended to dump water upon the earth that it might be blessed. But here we have clouds that bring an appearance and perhaps a promise and yet cannot fulfill. Being carried about by wind suggests having no anchor. Being led to and fro by the influences of the air, and you don't forget that the prince of the power of the air is Satan. And if you are not anchored in by God and doing God's will, dear friends, you are controlled by Satan himself. Be not deceived by it. Furthermore, he speaks of them next as trees, autumn trees, that is. But time has come when you look for fruit, and yet they're without fruit. Without fruit. You know, a tree that brings forth fruit must have life. And you know, unless you have been born of God, there's no life in you. And there is no fruit for God. No matter what you might do as far as men are concerned, there's no fruit for God unless you have been born again. The end of such is read, we read of in verse 12, twice dead. That is, dead in sin and then dead in apostasy. This is true of those who profess Christ and give him up, turn away from him. We read that they'll be plucked up by the roots. The Lord Jesus says that every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up, plucked up. This is the end. Furthermore, he uses now an illustration of the raging waves of the sea of these people in Christian profession without Christ. What are they doing? Foaming out their own shame. Raging waves of the sea only suggest the restlessness of sin. People aren't happy. People are not at rest today. Oh, how unrest characterizes all men everywhere, and perplexity and concern. Oh, why? They know not the one who himself is peace. You will never have peace, you'll never have rest, until you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give it to you. Next, he speaks of them as wandering stars. Perhaps reference here to the meteors that appear suddenly upon the horizon in the atmosphere. Brightly do they shine for a time, but then out they go. We read of these wandering stars, a picture of a professing Christian, one who is not saved. To them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This, I say, is what is characteristic and what is the end of those who are simply Christians by profession, who are apostates from the truth, having turned away from the truth that God had given to them. Jude goes on to say that they are murmurers, they are complainers, they walk after their own lusts, and with their mouth they speak great swelling words. And what else do they do? They have men's persons in admiration because of the advantage they can get. Do we not see this developing so rapidly and completely in our day? Oh, dear friend, remember that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of this. And Jude reminds us that the apostles, along with his writings, spoke of it also. He said that in the last days there should be mockers who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who are sensual, having not the Spirit. Now this sums up for us in these few verses what is very graphic, very definite, very brief, but it shows us what apostasy is like. And it tells us that this development will be manifest completely in the last days. But, beloved, he goes on to say, and I would turn and address just my closing remarks to each one and seek an application, trusting the Lord to apply what we have read to you. If you are not saved, oh, I trust that as you see that this is so today, that you will realize your need of an anchor, your need of a Savior, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from man's philosophies. Turn to the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Take the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you at Calvary, as your Savior. Try and see if this does not indeed bring you the peace and joy that you're looking for, and you will have salvation and protection in no other way. There's no other way to escape the righteous judgment of God than by being born again. But you, dear believer, you, beloved of God, you have trusted Christ. Be not discouraged. Look up. Your salvation draws nigh. But Jude puts before us here in closing five things that would help to serve, to keep us close to the Lord in these days. He said, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How can you do that? Read your Bible. Feed upon it as food for your soul. Get light for your path. Get comfort for your soul and your heart. This is found in the Holy Scriptures, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Second, praying in the Holy Ghost. Turn to Him in prayer. Bring all your needs to Him, and seek to pray as guided by the Holy Spirit, that you might pray what He would have accomplished. You will find real joy and peace in praying in the Holy Ghost, that is, letting Him direct your prayers to the glory of God. Third, keep yourselves in the love of God. It doesn't mean keep God loving you, but it means keep yourselves in the sense that God does love you. Don't let the enemy intrude here and put a doubt into your mind that God loves you. He does love you. He loves you with an everlasting love. His love will never cease, and it cannot be fathomed. Next, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep before you the blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven momentarily. Look to Him. He may come today. What a joy it will be to see Him face to face. What a blessing awaits us. And then, last, He has this for us. Think of others. Some have compassion, make a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That is, seek to be useful to the Lord in seeking to help others by presenting to them the truth of God such as we see it in His Word. And He closes with these words, and how wonderful it is to know we have safety in Him. It's an ascription of praise, well fitting to the meaning of the name of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, authority and power both now and forever. Amen. May God bless His word to every listener today. Loving God our Father, we thank Thee for faithfully showing us the signs of the last days. And we pray that today in what we have looked at, souls will be warned and their eyes open to see that what is to develop in the apostasy is around us this very moment. And the only way of salvation is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be prepared for His coming to take us out of the scene before His judgment falls. Bless thy word, we ask, to every listener. Magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Bring souls to bow before him in subjection, to own him as Lord. We ask it in his precious and worthy name. Amen.